from KQED. From KQED Public Radio, good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Penny Nelson in for Michael Krasny. Coming up in the hour ahead, a discussion about a proposed ballot initiative that would speed up the death penalty process here in California. Three of the state's past governors are backing a measure that would put a five-year limit on appeals, among other changes. Those opposing the initiative say it could up the chances that an innocent person is put to death. Both sides recognize there are serious problems with the current capital punishment procedures in the state. We'll hear from both sides on the issue and take your calls on the matter after this. Good morning and welcome to Forum. I'm Penny Nelson, sitting in for Michael Krasny. Capital punishment in California is once again in the news. This time, the conversation revolves around a proposed ballot initiative that would speed up the death penalty process for those already sitting on death row. There are nearly 750 inmates awaiting execution right now, and they're part of what is broadly recognized as a dysfunctional system that's expensive, controversial in its practices, and de facto on hold since 2006 due to legal challenges to the state's lethal injection procedures. Now a new initiative has been proposed, one that would expedite executions, putting a time limit on the appeals process, among other things. This initiative has garnered the support of three former governors, including George Dukmejian, Pete Wilson, and Governor Gray Davis. Opponents of the bill raise concerns about potentially shoddy legal practices as a result and the increased possibility that innocent people may be wrongly put to death. This hour on Forum, we consider the measure being proposed and what passage of it would mean for those awaiting execution. With us for the hour is Gil Garcetti, the former district attorney of Los Angeles County, and also with us is Mark Peterson, Contra Costa County's current DA. And later in the program, we'll hear from Santa Clara law professor Ellen Kreitzberg. And to start out the show, we have former California Governor Gray Davis with us by phone. He's thrown his support behind the effort to speed up the process. Good morning, Governor Davis.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you. Well, if you would, can you tell us exactly what changes this proposed initiative would make to the current system?
Yes. First, let me say that 2 years ago, when Proposition 34 would have eliminated the death penalty retroactively, Governors Wilson, Dukmejian, and I campaigned against it, and we said if the people retain the death penalty as an option for the most heinous crimes, we will go back and fix flaws that we acknowledge exist in the appellate process. And so that is what we're doing. And this initiative makes essentially four changes. First of all, it assigns a lawyer to an inmate on death row within the first year. Now it averages 5 or 6 years before a lawyer is even assigned to you. And the taxpayers are paying about $180 million a year to house death row inmates. Secondly, we follow the federal model in having the intermediate courts in California, the state courts of appeals, hear the original appeal. That means that process can conclude in about 5 years. Now the average is in excess of 20 years because the California Supreme Court has original jurisdiction and they have a huge backlog. A third, we require inmates on death row to work and pay restitution to the families of the murdered victims or risk losing their television privileges and privileges to have books. Now there's no penalty if they don't work. And finally, we require that death penalty inmates share a cell with another death penalty prisoner where it's safe to do so. Right now, they're the only ones in the prison population that essentially have special housing. Everyone else is two persons to a cell. So those are the four principal changes that we would make in the current system. Right now, the system takes about 30 years to exhaust both your appellate rights at the state level and habeas corpus rights at the federal level, and that's just an awful long time to wait for justice.
Who wrote this bill?
This is written by some law professors, supported by the victims of the families of violent murder victims, law enforcement, and the three ex-governors, Governor Wilson, Temechian, and I.
Okay, so the idea behind putting this bill forward now, I mean, the death penalty itself has been sort of on hold anyway for quite a number of years, but the idea behind this was a response to the failure of Prop 34, where it was said that if the death penalty was maintained, there would be fixes made. And so this is that effort. This is the effort to make
those
fixes.
Right, we made a promise. We said we believe that the death penalty should be an option. As you said, it really hasn't been used since 2006. But assuming the constitutional problems are fixed and it is restored, it ought to work in a more common sense fashion. So we are honoring the promise the three governors made 2 years ago.
Okay. Now, a couple of issues with the first 2 points you made about the changes that will be made, that there will be intermediary courts introduced to the process, which follows more the federal model, and also that lawyers will be provided within the first year. First question, are there enough defenders? Are there enough lawyers available to meet that need?
We believe there are, and there are some changes we make in the law that require certain lawyers who get pro tem work from the courts to accept these assignments when they include being the attorney for someone on death row. When I was governor, I required that all inmates give a DNA swab to make sure that there was nobody on death row that was there improperly. And you know, I contributed very generously to the habeas project, which provides a lot of money so that top flight lawyers can be paid enough to represent these defendants. We want everyone to have every option at due process, exhaust all their appeals, but we do not think this process should take 30 years.
Well, and then to that point, some people are arguing that by introducing lower courts, intermediary courts, rather than going right to the Supreme Court, that this will actually slow down the process because, you know, we've already got a pretty log-jammed general court system. Will it, in your opinion, expedite matters or potentially gum up the courts even more to have more cases introduced into intermediary courtrooms?
Our goal is really to see if justice can't be achieved in a more reasonable, common-sense fashion. And if you're on death row and you believe you're there wrongly, you want a remedy in 5 years, not 20 years, which is what it takes at the state level. Similarly, if you're the brother, sister, mother, father of a loved one who was ripped out of your life by a violent murder, you want closure in 5 years at the state process, state level, not 20 years. So I believe it serves the interest of people on both sides of this issue.
Let me ask you, as somebody who was governor of this big, big, wieldy state, is cost-effective when you think that, I think it's the number is about 13 executions have taken place since 1978 when the death penalty was reinstated. And I'm just wondering about the cost-effectiveness of that system. How much does a death row inmate cost compared to a non-death row inmate? And as somebody who's managing a state budget, how did you play the numbers on death row numerically, financially, as opposed to non-death row options?
Well, this is not all about numbers. As I said before, it costs about $180 million a year for the taxpayers to support some 760 people on death row. But the governors, Dick Manchin, Wilson, and I, we lived through some terrible crime sprees, the Hillside Strangler, the Night Stalker, even the Charlie Manson crimes, Tate LaBianca. So We know firsthand the impact that these terrible crimes have on society, the fear they generate, and the horrible pain and loss that the families of these murdered victims experience, which takes a long time to go away. So we're about common sense reforms that provide justice to the victims of violent crimes, but also provide a more expedited remedy or people who may be on death row unfairly and want their appeal heard sooner rather than later.
And finally, do you know where Governor Jerry Brown comes down on this on the proposed proposition?
I do not, but I'm sure at some point, if you ask him, he will tell you.
Well, Governor Gray Davis, thank you so much for being with us this morning.
My pleasure.
That's former California Governor Gray Davis speaking about a proposed ballot initiative that would expedite executions on death row. It's, as he stated, a promise kept when Proposition 34, which would have abolished the death penalty and was on the ballot in 2012, when that went down to defeat, one of the promises that its supporters had made was that they would make modifications and corrections to the current death penalty process in California, and this current ballot initiative is trying to honor that promise. Now, with us for the remainder of the show, we have Gil Garcetti. He is the former district attorney of Los Angeles County. He was a spokesperson on the Proposition 34 campaign in 2012. And good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And you are opposed to this current proposed initiative. Is that correct?
Well, I think the initiative is a non-starter. It's simply riddled with flaws from top to bottom, and it will invite, frankly, more legal challenges and delays and increased costs. I see no reason for this, no useful reason.
All right.
There's no purpose.
And with us as well is Mark Peterson, current district attorney for Contra Costa County. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
And you're supporting this initiative.
Yes.
All right. I want to go back to you, Gil Garcetti, first, and
sure.
And what you just stated, that you see lots of potential problems with this. Back up even a step further. You know, this system has been called dysfunctional by people on both sides. What do you see right now as the biggest stumbling blocks, the biggest problems with the state's capital punishment process?
Well, certainly it's a dysfunctional process that both sides agree does not work right now, and nearly everyone says cannot be fixed. Even the former Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Ron George, who's a strong death penalty advocate, tried to fix this and has concluded it is simply not fixable. It's a waste of money.
Well, give me some concrete hurdles that are the problems that people are pointing to.
Well, one problem is simply the number of judges. They're talking about sending the cases to the Court of Appeal. Right now, the judiciary throughout the state of California, their budget has been slashed tremendously at all levels. What they propose doing is putting an added burden on the Court of Appeals. That means there are going to have to be more judges as well as more lawyers. These are all costs that, if the initiative were to pass, would simply, you know, result in more taxes for the taxpayer to cover something that has no useful purpose.
So more judges, and also per what the governor was saying at the beginning, each inmate will be assigned a lawyer within the first year. And my question is, do we have enough defenders?
Well, that's an excellent question, because not only do we have enough defenders, do we have enough qualified defenders to do this? In other words, the court establishes certain criteria and expertise for the people who will be handling these death penalty appeals. Do we open the door and let less qualified people coming in? If not, you know, are we willing to pay the price that is necessary to attract the lawyers to handle these cases? So it's a huge issue that you just raised right there, and certainly is an issue that will be challenged in court.
All right, Mark Peterson, let's go to you. Those are two very concrete topics to tackle on this particular proposition: the number of judges available to handle increased caseload, and the number of defenders. What you're supporting this measure. What do you say in response to those concerns?
Well, first of all, we need to put things in context. The death penalty is supported by California. Nine times since 1978, the voters of California have either affirmed the death penalty or expanded those crimes eligible for the death penalty. So the voters certainly support the death penalty. I agree with the statement that the death penalty system is dysfunctional and broken. Both sides understand that of the debate. As the governor previously mentioned, our promise when we opposed Prop 34 was mend it, don't end it. Do not end the death penalty, but let's fix it. It takes 5 years for a death penalty or death row inmate to get an attorney. It takes an average of 12 to 13 years for the state appeals to be decided, and then an additional 12 years for the federal appeals to be decided.
Let me stop you right there. Why does it take 5 years for an inmate to get an attorney?
Because one of the problems is there is an organization, the Habeas Corpus Research Council, who assigns some of these attorneys, and they have no oversight. They're one of the state agencies that actually has nobody looking over their shoulder asking what they're doing with the money, how they're assigning cases, et cetera. Our initiative would provide that oversight, and it would be the California Supreme Court that would handle that oversight. So that's one of the things that we would fix. The ballot initiative also puts a time limit on the appeals. And the system is broken. In 2008, the Commission on the Fair Administration of Justice, a bipartisan commission, said you should fix the death penalty, and one of the ways you fix it is by assigning these cases to the courts of appeal. In contrast to what the previous speaker just said, in 2009, Ron George and a unanimous California Supreme Court endorsed the recommendations of the Commission on the Fair Administration of Justice. So we have taken what that report talked about and suggested and placed it in the initiative. We're actually suggesting that the changes that Ron George and a bipartisan commission said we should do into this initiative. It's not riddled with flaws. The Court of Appeals can certainly handle these cases.
Gil,
the converse is to let the California Supreme Court, one court, handle this. It makes more sense to have numerous courts handle all these appeals rather than just one court. That would help get rid of the backlog.
And Gil Garcetti, what do you think about the appellate court addition?
Well, you're still talking about a budget issue that no one seems to address, and that is, if you're going to have the Court of Appeal judges handle these cases, you're going to put a tremendous additional workload already on a court system that's already hugely backlogged. So you're going to have to go to the legislature and get the money to bring in more appellate judges to handle these cases. That's what Ron George and others tried to do, and clearly both sides, Republicans and Democrats, refused to do that. That's when he concluded there is simply no political will in the state of California to change the death penalty system. It's a waste of time.
Mark Peterson, I have to ask you, do you feel like you're Sisyphus here, that you're fighting an uphill battle with trying to modify a system that it's pretty well known the state's attorney general does not support the death penalty in principle, and Governor Jerry Brown, while he has promised to follow the law, is not a big advocate of the death penalty. So you're trying to make changes to a system that will require a lot of money to make these, to provide for judges and additional court availability, but you're kind of working against a leadership in the state that is not overly invested in building up capital punishment.
Well, I don't accept that premise that it's going to cost us a huge amount of additional monies. If you accept my opponent's argument, then we would just do nothing. Oh, it's going to take the Court of Appeals more work and it costs more money, so therefore let's just let the system not work at all, because certainly one court can't do all these cases. That's not an acceptable option. We're talking about 725 cases total. That's the number of people total on death row. That's not a huge number when you look at all the courts of appeal, all the judges on the courts of appeal, and all the criminal cases they handle. This isn't insurmountable. Yeah, one court can't do it, but can the courts of appeal do it? Yes. Can they do it without large additional sums of money or expanding the courts of appeal? Absolutely. And yes, we have run into roadblocks with our elected officials. We introduced legislation earlier this year to try and fix this problem. We asked our legislature, let's fix it, SB 779 and SB 13, to do exactly what our initiative talked about. Neither one of them made it out of the Senate Public Safety Committee. So our legislators, our political leaders, failed to act, failed to follow the will of the people. So that's why we have to go to the initiative process and go right to the voters who want a death penalty, who want it to work. This is the only way to accomplish that task.
That's Mark Peterson. He's the district attorney for Contra Costa County. And he's speaking with us this hour, along with Gil Garcetti, former district attorney for Los Angeles County, about a new proposition that may go before voters in 2014. And it is a ballot initiative that would streamline the death penalty process, putting a five-year limit on death penalty appeals and making some other changes to the system. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call, 866-733-6786. That's 866-733-6786. Or you can email us at forum@kqed.org. Well, we're coming up to a break before too long, but I do want to ask about the hold that's really de facto in place on the death penalty anyway since 2006. Gil Garcetti, do you want to weigh in on what has put an end to any executions for a while now?
Well, before I do that, I would like to respond to Mr. Peterson's comment about the will of California to be strongly favor the death penalty. Just look at the facts. Look at what's happening throughout this country. You already have three governors, one in Washington, the state of Washington, just 2 weeks ago, who said, no more death penalties in the state of Washington as long as I'm governor because it's too costly and it is so unfair. The same happened in Oregon. Same happened in Colorado. We moved in last year in Proposition 34 from 1978 when the state of California, the people of the state of California, by about 70% approved the death penalty to a position where only 52% of the people of the state of California approved it. And we know that if they were given the information about the facts of the death penalty, that we would have moved 250,000 people who had voted for it. If those 250,000 people had voted for it, there'd be no death penalty in the state of California. That is the direction that we are going. That's what we should be doing.
Mark Peterson?
Maybe other states, but in California, California voters strongly support the death penalty. As I mentioned, nine times since 1978, they've indicated their support for the death penalty. It's not unfair in the state of California. The amount of protections that are in place in the state of California versus some state like Mississippi or Arkansas, some other state, are incredible. There's no documented case of any innocent person ever being executed in the state of California. Jerry Brown himself is quoted as saying he's never seen an innocent person that's on death row, and he reviews some of these cases. The Alcoron Mitchell report, a federal judge that made recommendations, has said there's no evidence that any innocent person has ever been executed in the state of California.
Well, let me interrupt there. Let me interrupt and ask if the Innocence Project or any of those programs have exonerated or found people that were not necessarily executed but were wrongly put on death row.
Well, that would be a separate discussion. We'd have to talk about the Innocence Project, and that's a whole other debate. And sometimes they call it an exoneration, something where there's some DNA that might indicate the person didn't do it. The case is reversed, and the DA decides not to proceed with the case. Perhaps witnesses are dead or whatever. So exoneration means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It doesn't mean the person didn't necessarily do the crime, but for whatever reason, they didn't go forward with the case. So that's a complicated issue. Regarding who supports the death penalty in California, yes, it was 52-48% vote. But many of those people who voted to eliminate the death penalty want it eliminated because people have thwarted the death penalty. They are so frustrated that our legislatures won't carry it out that they have finally thrown up their hands and said, okay, fine, get rid of it.
All right, I'm going to stop you there. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue our conversation about the death penalty after that break. If you'd like to join us in the conversation, you can give us a call at 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them on our website, kqed.org/forum. I'm Penny Nelson. And sitting in for Michael Krasny, and you are listening to KQED Public Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to Forum. I'm Penny Nelson in this hour for Michael Krasny, and we're discussing a proposed ballot initiative that would put a five-year limit on death penalty appeals and make other changes to the way the state manages its capital punishment process. Opponents say the measure would lead to more expensive legal battles and increase the chances that an innocent person could be put to death. And proponents of the ballot initiative might weigh in, as Pete Wilson did, former Governor Pete Wilson, by saying death row inmates should not be dying of old age. With us for this hour, we've got former L.A. County District Attorney Gil Garcetti with us. Also with us, Mark Peterson, who is the current District Attorney for Contra Costa County. And we're joined now by Ellen Kreitzberg. She's a law professor at Santa Clara University School of Law and the director of the Death Penalty College that trains lawyers who handle death penalty cases. Good morning, Ellen Kreitzberg.
Good morning, Penny.
Well, let's zoom out a little bit. I want to go to you, Ellen, and zoom out again a little bit and go back to my question about the moratorium, the end to executions effectively, at least for now, in the state. Tell us why we haven't been having any executions carried out and what the problems are with the actual process of the executions.
Well, two things are actually keeping these executions on hold, one in federal court and one in state court. And those holds will remain regardless of what happens with any sort of modifications or changes to the process. In fact, the litigation may actually expand because all the changes to the death penalty process will again start new layers of litigation and challenges in the court. So in the federal court, we still have a ruling from Judge Fogel that the death penalty as implemented, as used in California, is unconstitutional. That got put to the side when the case litigation began in state court. You can't be in two courts at once. And that found that the lethal injection procedures were a violation of the Administrative Procedures Act and that the state had to generate new procedures in order to comply. Now, all this is really about working effectively, working efficiently, and working in a transparent system so the people in the state of California can see how our death penalty system operates and does not actually seem to be how the state wants to run this punishment.
Will there be any, does this proposition include any changes to the actual implementing of the execution, the doctors involved, or the lethal injection procedures?
Well, the procedures are generated through right now through regulations, and the new regulations that were written talked about using the same three drugs that were used in the old procedures that Judge Fogel found to be defective. So with this proposition, if there are any changes in the lethal injection procedure in terms of drugs or implementation, those procedures will be challenged in court. We'll start a whole new round of litigation, just as is going on everywhere in the country. The lethal injection litigation involves going to unregulated pharmacies, what's called compounding pharmacies. It deals with getting drugs from overseas that are not approved by the FDA. The Food and Drug Administration has actually requested that the Department of Corrections return the drugs to them from California, and they've refused. It's a very strange system they're operating in order to try and execute people.
Well, and now to add to this complicated stew, I also think that I read that even if this was to go before the voters and pass, it would not be turnkey. It wouldn't be implementable until it jumps through some more legal or judicial hoops. Is that correct?
Well, what happens because of the nature of the death penalty, because it involves so many fundamental constitutional rights as well as concerns about innocence. And Penny, if I could just add one thing about the Innocence Project, because I have to add, you know, our Innocence Project here at Santa Clara University exonerated a man last year who had been 16 years in prison, not on death row, but his case had been a death penalty case. It had gone to the jury, and it's only because the jury rejected the death penalty that it was not a death penalty case. Under this initiative, trying to push it faster, this man who finally got released at the age of 72 would be executed. Innocence is still an issue. I've seen the lawyers in California. Some really do not meet the standard, even under the present qualifications, and they really want to just hand out these cases to anyone with a bar card. That's not the way California wants to run its death penalty system.
That's Ellen Kreitzberg. She's a law professor at Santa Clara University Law School and director of the Death Penalty College, which trains lawyers to handle death penalty cases. And we are going to go to some of your calls. I'll first go to an email. Bill writes directly about what Ellen Kreitzberg just said. He says, I'd be okay with the death penalty if our criminal justice system wasn't putting innocent people on death row. One good thing about the lengthy process is that new technologies have revealed the innocence of some on death row now. And let's go over to some of the callers. We've got John, who's calling us from Sacramento. Good morning, John.
Hey, how's it going? First, I'd just like to say, you know, I really do appreciate seeing somebody trying to make changes to a system they consider broken. I feel like there's just too much paralysis in government right now anyway, and trying to make a change is really appreciated. Just jumping back to one point that was going on earlier, one of the speakers was commenting that it would cost quite a bit of money to actually implement new courts or to have more judges come on board. But I was wondering, by having the additional judges on board and by processing inmates sooner and, you know, possibly going through executions earlier or releasing inmates earlier, wouldn't that actually free up a lot of the time that the inmates spend in jail? So instead of being there for 50 years, they're there for 10 or 20, thus saving us a ton of money in the long run?
Ellen Kreitzberg?
Well, it would not, because what happens with the cost is huge amounts of the cost are even in the trial. A death penalty case is a double trial because there's an entire penalty trial, which is required by the U.S. Constitution, by the Supreme Court. So it already is double the cost of a regular murder trial. And I think when we talk about money, what we have to remember is, you know, safety and justice. With over 50% of the reported rapes unsolved in California and 50% of our homicides unsolved, we can be safe by keeping people in prison for the rest of their lives, and we can be safer by using the money we spend on the death penalty to arrest the perpetrators of these crimes that are unsolved currently. So I think the money is an issue in terms of how we want to spend it.
Ellen Kreitzberg, as somebody who works with law students and trains people to handle these cases, I'd like, before we let you go, I'd like for you to address the issue that some people have raised about funneling more defenders in quickly. Is the caliber of the defense going to go down, in your opinion? What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, there's no question in my mind. I've worked on capital cases in the South. I've worked on them in California. I train our lawyers. In California, we have some of the best lawyers in the country, and we have a lot of lawyers who should not be handling capital cases. We know just last year, a death penalty case was reversed in court after 30 years because they found the trial lawyer was ineffective, that he hadn't even done the most basic work to investigate and prepare the case for trial. So instead of the case being over, him being in jail for life without the possibility of parole, that case has come back and started over again. That's what's going to happen with these new requirements of just handing out cases to someone with a bar card.
All right. That's Ellen Kreitzberg, law professor at Santa Clara University. Thanks so much for being with us. And we're going to let her go now. Let's go back to the calls. We've got Mike in San Francisco. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm a public defender. I actually am the director of the Office of the State Public Defender. And I just wanted to speak to one major point, which is the lack of counsel to take these cases on appeal, which results in the delay that Mr. Peterson was talking about earlier. And that 5 to 6 year delay can be directly assessed to the fact that offices like my office, the State Public Defender Office, have seen a 50% reduction in the number of positions, attorneys in addition to just general positions, since the death penalty was last modified in 1998. We went from 127 positions to now we have 64. And when we talk about the lack of attorneys taking these cases, it's because of the lack of funding and commitment of financial resources to them. That's a large portion of the delay. The second point, I served on that California Commission for the Fair Administration of Justice in 2008, and this proposal does not mirror our recommendations at all. In fact, those recommendations focused almost entirely on the lack of resources and funding to the death penalty system, which this proposal provides nothing for. There's no funding source in this proposal.
All right.
Well, so I'll just take my comments off there.
Thanks for that input. And Mark Peterson, why don't you address that? Because that seems to be something that we keep coming back to, which is it's sort of like an unfunded mandate. How to handle the costs that these changes will require?
Well, it kind of goes back to the previous caller who pointed out that, he didn't point out this exact figure, but it now costs $50,000 a year to house someone in prison for 1 year, $50,000 per year. If we reduce the time that these individuals are in death row from 30 years to 10 years, for example, which is a reasonable time, which is the average throughout the entire country, that would be 20-year savings in housing costs, which is $1 million just per inmate. So I know people don't like to talk about that fact, but there are savings when individuals are in prison for shorter periods of time. Those savings, because I happen to agree with much of what your last caller said, it's absolutely true. There is not adequate funding for this Office of State Public Defender. They should get more funding. The problem is the legislature won't fund them because they know the legislature, philosophically, the majority of them, are opposed to the death penalty. So how do they thwart the will of the people? They know if they funded the death penalty group more adequately, the appeals would be handled sooner and people might actually be executed. So how they do it is by not adequately funding the Office of State Public Defender. Yes, they should. The savings that would result by the shorter prison times could, in fact, pay for this funding for the Office of State Public Defender. And I disagree with the last speaker that we are not mirroring the recommendations of the commission. Yes, we are. Not in every aspect, but their main change was to change this so the Court of Appeals could hear these cases first. And that's one of the main changes of our initiative.
All right. That's Mark Peterson, District Attorney for Contra Costa County. Let's go to some of the emails. We've got a whole bunch that have come in. Beth is asking, aside from the fact that we have too many people in prison for nonviolent crimes, would someone please explain why states that have done away with the death penalty have the lowest crime rates or at least the lowest number of crimes that would have warranted the death penalty? And she also goes on to say, and what about the people who have to do the executing? This has to have an effect on their mental health. Is that a true statement, according to both of you, Gil Garcetti and Mark Peterson, that the states that do not have the death penalty have lower crime rates?
Well, apparently that is the case. I don't know if every particular state but has that situation. But I think we have to remember that, you know, here in Los Angeles County and Alameda County, for example, there was a great percent who favored the passage of Proposition 34. And the question is why? The answer is because the purpose of the death penalty serves no real useful purpose. Most everyone agrees now it's not a deterrent. There's no proof that it's a deterrent. So what is it? It's vengeance. It's retribution. Can we afford that? Don't we really want to protect people? Do we want to punish people who do these horrendous crimes? Yes, we do. And you do it by taking them off of death row, taking them, giving their privileges away, putting them in the general population. Not only do you take away those privileges and they will die in prison, this is life without possibility of parole, but and you're going to save so much more money. And just like the professor said, instead of using this money where people are going to stay on death row and eventually die of a natural death, use that money in a productive way. Use it to keep the cops on the beat in Oakland, for example, in Alameda County, where they've reduced the number of police officers there. Let them have the funding that will permit them to solve these 50% of rape cases and 50% of murder cases that go unsolved every year. That could be a real deterrent. At the same time, we keep people safe by keeping these, you know, horrific killers in prison until they die.
That's Gil Garcetti, former district attorney for L.A. County. Mark Peterson, I want to ask you about the changes to doctors and sanctions for doctors. Can you address the part of the proposition that we'll be talking about that?
Well, let me first respond to what we just talked about. We don't have the death penalty necessarily to lower crime rates, and it is a dispute or certainly a debate whether the death penalty is a deterrent. But we do have it to punish the worst of the worst. In California, less than 2% of convicted murderers were sentenced to the death penalty. There seems to be this idea out there that we're sending everybody to death row. Less than 2% of the convicted murderers even make it to death row. And of the people on death row, these individuals murdered 229 children. They murdered 43 police officers. 238 of their victims were sexually assaulted, and 90 were tortured. One example is Randy Kraft, who sexually assaulted, tortured, and murdered 16 young men. So, yes, the death penalty is for people like this, and they don't deserve to live for the rest of their life at $50,000 a year because of the crimes they've committed. Now, you might have a philosophical debate whether there is a death penalty or not, but the death penalty is to punish the worst of the worst.
All right, let's jump to the proposition, though. I want to keep us a little bit focused on the changes that would come into play. Can you talk about doctors?
When you say doctors, what do you mean specifically about doctors?
Any sanctions that would be placed on doctors who are, I'm trying to remember how it was used in the language in the proposition, to remove any sanctions?
Oh, right, yeah. The people that are opposed to the death penalty want to sanction doctors for participating in this process. The idea that lethal injection is somehow cruel and unusual punishment, I know we have some judges that have ruled that, but it's absurd, frankly. These individuals have tortured and raped and sexually assaulted people, and we give them a drug that puts them to sleep and then stops their heart. How that can possibly be cruel and unusual punishment is frankly absurd. It's judicial activism, but be that as it may.
Well, clarify what the proposition says.
Well, it says that these doctors that help with the injection or with the death penalty procedure at the time of the execution, that they can't be sanctioned. You can't take away their license because they participated in the process. And the other side is trying to do that in order to prevent any execution. They're trying to keep the drugs out of the hands of the prisoners. They're trying to keep a doctor scared to even participate in the process. And that's just wrong. They're thwarting the will of the California voters again and again.
All right, let's go to some more of the emails. We've got Gerald in favor of the proposition saying this seems eminently just, given that no one convicted of murder has ever been exonerated after 5 years' time has elapsed. And Rich writes, opposing the proposition saying, as a practical matter, it's very unlikely that California ever executes another inmate. It's impossible to miss the direction of the courts in the area of the fair administration of the penalty. It seems odd that this effort is being made by these three former governors, when even if they are successful, we're likely to never again exact this death penalty. And let's go back to the calls. We've got Debbie in San Jose. Good morning.
Hi. You know, I'm a healthcare professional, and to me, it's just totally, we perpetuate the cycle of violence by killing people, and I'm totally humiliated that we try to get drugs from Europe, and every time they find out what therefore, they shut down the transaction, and we go someplace else, and they shut us down. And I'm just really embarrassed to be an American right now, that our society is evolving. We accept gay marriage and a lot of other things. I just want to put to the voters that this is cost-effective, and it's not effective in changing behavior from the statistics that you cited.
All right. Well, thanks for your input, Debbie.
Okay, thank you.
And Jane and Corte Madera, join us.
Yes, thank you very much. I don't know whether people in California realize it or not, or people in Marin County in particular, because that's where we kill people on death row. Marin County is the killing county of California, as far as I'm concerned. And the death penalty, as far as I'm concerned also, is nothing more than government-sanctioned murder. Now, Ohio has an execution coming up sometime this week, and they've been running around, or they had been running around like chickens with their heads cut off, looking for a drug that they can use. And they went to Europe, and nobody in Europe would give them the drug because the pharmacies there said, we are in the business of helping people, not killing people. They finally found a pharmacy, as I understand, somewhere close to them in Ohio, but it happens to be a secret. They won't let anybody know which pharmacy is going to give them this drug. I'd also like to say, I'm a volunteer at San Quentin, and I've been there for over 10 years. I don't have anything to do with death row. But I would like to say this. There are over 735 men on death row right now. And if this petition or whatever you want to call it passes and it goes, it becomes law. If they started executing people tomorrow, they would have to execute, it would take 12 years to execute everybody who currently are on death row, never mind the death sentences that would be coming up during those 12 years. Now, a woman in Southern California has more people on death row than Northern California. That's a fact. And a woman has recently, I believe in Southern California, been given the death penalty. She will be brought to San Quentin to be executed because women on death rows in other prisons in California, that's where they actually are executed. One man on death row costs the taxpayers $137,000 a year, and in the general population, he would cost us $50,000 a year. If the taxpayers would do the numbers and realize the cost of having the death penalty, I believe if it were put to a vote again, it wouldn't pass.
All right. Well, Jane, thanks for the input. Thanks so much. And to some more of our online participants, Paul is writing, call me a fiscal tightwad for saying this, but it would be cheaper to do away with the death penalty than it would be to discuss its merits and cost in terms of morality and budget. Without question, it's cheaper to do away with it than to make this new proposal. And Frank is writing, shouldn't these ex-governors be more interested in finding ways to pay off California's debts or to make California more affordable or to prevent people from entering the criminal world by bringing manufacturing jobs back from the sweatshops of Asia? This killing fixation of theirs is what we can expect from a political class that is easy to satisfy big business. Well, that's a provocative statement. Goes on to say, I'd bet money they're pushing this death row thing because they've become lobbyists. Well, Frank, we don't know about that. And let's see. Rich is asking, if we want to reduce the cost of the death penalty, why not just place the people on death row in the general population? I've heard that it's much more expensive to keep them on death row, and I'm not sure I understand why this is necessary. Could one of your guests address that? So, Mark Peterson, I'm going to go back to you yet again on this issue of, because it's an expensive system and because nobody is really being executed, and as one of our callers said, it would take quite a long time even to execute all the people, it does make one wonder if this kind of proposition is where the energies should be focused when actually doing the executions themselves isn't happening.
Well, first of all, let me say in response to some of your callers, I happen to be proud to be an American. I don't believe Marin County is a killing county, and executing people that torture, sexually assault, and murder children and police officers is not government-sanctioned murder. The level of protection that these individuals get before they even get to death row is astounding. A DA's got to decide to charge them with a capital crime. They get two attorneys. They go through a trial that's overseen by a judge. 12 jurors have to decide beyond a reasonable doubt that they're guilty of certain crimes.
Right, and that's not what we're arguing. But what I think the bigger question here is that since we know that the executions really aren't happening and that it's a very expensive process, where is this particular proposition really going to advance the story? How is it going to make a difference?
Well, you keep saying it's a very expensive process, and that's not necessarily the case. That's not even true. This last caller, for example, said throughout these figures, it costs $137,000 a year to house somebody in death row and just $50,000 for a regular inmate. That's not true. There's no evidence of that. One time, many, many years ago, somebody from the CDCR said it costs $90,000 a year to house someone more than a regular inmate. When they tried to track that down, they couldn't find the employee. CDCR can't tell you that. If you went to the Department of Prisons right now and said, what does it cost to house a death row inmate? What does it cost to house a regular inmate? They can't give you the figure.
And Gil Garcetti, do you have any numbers on that you can work off of?
They're not there. These people have quoted the Alcoron Mitchell report, for example, where they get some of their figures. They quote newspaper articles that, well, we estimate it's this or that. There is no definitive number that anybody in authority can give you that says this is how much more it costs to house a death row inmate. I happen to agree with one of the previous speakers that we should house them 2 to a cell. That's one of the things that our initiative does. It allows the Department of Corrections to house them 2 to a cell if that's, in their opinion, a safe thing to do.
Expand on the work component of the proposition. What would be involved?
That's a great question. Yeah, right now they are required to work, but there's no sanctions if they don't work. This would allow the Department of Corrections to actually remove some privileges they might have if they refuse to work, to pay the restitution, which people are constitutionally entitled to receive for their crimes.
And what kinds of payment are we talking about? Give us some.
They can take things out of their account, or they can pay some money out of their account to victims and families. I mean, we want them to pay restitution, so they can be paid for work that they do in prison. It's not a lot of money, but it's something. And rather than just sit there and do nothing and watch TV all day, they would be required to work, and if they don't, certain privileges could be taken away.
Gil Garcetti, are you with us?
Oh, I am. Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, there you are. Do you want to weigh in both on the cost argument and also whether you can throw your support behind some of the aspects of the proposition, like the working component?
Yeah. First of all, we should take a look at what Judge Alarcon did in his study of the cost of the death penalty. Now, Judge Alarcon is a court of appeal judge in the federal court who's in favor of the death penalty. He and Professor from Loyola are the ones who exhaustively studied this and concluded that it's costing the state of California $4 billion since 1978 for 13 executions, and that there is every probability that that cost will continue to increase. Our proposal, when we say in Proposition 34, for example, life without possibility of parole, it takes away all those death row privileges, and you are placed in the general population, two people to a cell, not a private cell that they have on death row right now. There have been states, I believe it was Oklahoma, maybe Texas, that tried to do what this proposition says they want to do, and that is just eliminate death row and put people in the general population. It did not work. There were both legal problems and constitutional issues, and they reverted back to the death row. They have to.
All right,
we know that.
$4 billion figure that's mentioned in the Alarcon report, which I've actually read, is based upon estimates and anecdotal reports and newspaper articles. Even Alarcon does not have a source for that alleged $4 billion figure. In fact, the RAND Corporation, which studied this, said there's simply not enough accurate information to truthfully estimate the cost of the death penalty.
All right,
that's the only one that's looked at this extensively.
This is a conversation I'm sure we will continue between now and November of 2014 as this may or may not come before voters. And so thanks to both of you for being with us for the hour.
You're welcome. Thank you for the opportunity.
Former L.A. County District Attorney Gil Garcetti and Mark Peterson having a spirited debate. Also with us for the hour at the top was Governor Gray Davis, and with us was Ellen Kreitzberg, law professor at Santa Clara University. Well, thanks to all of you who listened and called in and wrote into the show as well. Stay with us for the next hour. We'll be tackling some big questions about the universe with cosmologist Max Tegmark. His new book's called Our Mathematical Universe. The engineer this hour is Howard Gelman. The show's producers are Judy Campbell and Irene Noguchi. Amanda Stupai is the engagement producer, and the senior editor is Dan Zoll. For Michael Krasny, I'm Penny Nelson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.